Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
The scripture comes from Matthew 25. Jesus has been with his disciples now for 3 years, and he's giving them final guidance as he knows he's approaching the cross. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all of the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will put his sheep at the right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those at the left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for you by the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And they will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gift of Holy Scripture. Gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Actually, more than hope, I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, that family gathered together, and it was good. For us this year, maybe the first time that I can remember, family gathered together and all of the kids were good. I was talking to one of the parents here this morning about this. There must be like a universal law. When you have two of them with you, it's great, but you add a third sometimes, and the dynamics change. Well, we had three, and it was just fantastic. So I'm thankful that family was able to gather, and we had Brenda's mom and stepdad in, and just a wonderful time, and the food was wonderful. And like many people, we were thankful for a warm place to sleep, a warm place to be with friends and family, and thankful for the presence of God. And there's so many people that were thankful for that experience, those experiences, and especially the experience of the presence of God. For being able to recognize it, because God is always there. God is always with us, but we don't always experience God in the difficult moments and the challenges, or sometimes when we're rejoicing, we forget that God is right there too. And it's this experience of God that draws us ever deep into a relationship which we can offer thanks. And I'm wondering if you would take a moment and think about the last time that you really powerfully experienced God. What was that like? What was God revealing to you, saying to you, whispering to you. From a biblical perspective, every time that there is a revelation, God is offering something to draw the person closer into relationship. What was God whispering to you? Or maybe you've not had that kind of experience yet. Well, there's good news, because it will happen. Jesus promises that if we knock, that door will be opened. What will that be like for you? What are you hoping God whispers? My experience has grown to be almost a steady, comfortable experience. It's almost like a spiritual sixth sense, sensing God there. God speaks to me words of love, words of comfort, but also words of challenge. Eric, these are the places you need to grow. These are the places that you need to be polished. You've got a few rough edges. And I believe that's what God is calling all of us to hear. I read voraciously. I have a book in my hand. I usually have three or four going at the same time because I'm a little bit ADHD that way. I can't finish just one. I've got to have a bunch of them going at the same time. And I love reading the lives of the saints, the people who have dedicated their lives to following Christ. And we have this incredible library. I call it the third canon, the people who have poured their life into following Jesus and written about it, biographies and autobiographies. And in all of the cases, people talk about God calling them into a deeper relationship that requires they step into like the rock polisher. The Old Testament calls this being refined or becoming righteous. The New Testament calls it salvation or being born again. It's a process of God wearing off that rough outer coat until the immortal diamond within shines and reflects the ever-present light of the glory of God into all of the people around us, and people can recognize there's something different about us. What's different about us is a relationship with God. As I was thinking about metaphor, how do I explain what it's like to have a relationship with God, I was thinking back to college and his family this week, I suppose. So that idea of family was there. And I was thinking about one of the great lessons my dad taught me. I was a freshman in college, went to Northern Illinois University, and they had 2 years of pre-business school courses you had to take. 10 courses that you had to take that if your GPA was high enough, then you could get into the business school. And one of those was an introduction to marketing class. Couple of weeks on major segments of marketing, and I remember one of the segments being on sales, and they had this this example of somebody working for a office supply company, selling the fixtures and cubicles to businesses. I suppose they were trying to imagine what many of the students, the kind of jobs they might have coming right out of college. And in that story, they talked about a sales success percentage, the kind of success rate that you could expect. And I think what I remember was they were saying, you have to get used to people saying no to you a lot. That part of being in sales is handling rejection. And I don't remember what the percentage was, but I called my dad and I was saying, Dad, this is what I'm reading. What kind of sales percentage should you expect? Is this accurate? And he said, oh, Eric, you got to shoot for 100%. You ought to expect 100% every time you ask for the order, you ought to get it. It's like, come on, Dad, give me a break. Help me out here. I'm trying to ask for your advice and you're telling me to expect 100%. He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, do you really get 100% of your orders? He said, yeah. All right, Dad. So yeah, like you're God or something. He's like, no. He said, I started as a buyer. I spent 20 years as a buyer. And then I was a merchandise manager. I know what it's like to be a buyer. I know what the buyers need. I know what the merchandise managers insist that they deliver. I know what the merchandise managers need. I know what the divisional vice presidents insist they deliver. So I don't sell products to my customers. I sell a relationship. And when I offer a product line, I don't just sell specific toys. I sell, this is a package that's going to help you be successful. I'm selling the bonus. I'm selling trust. I'm selling the fact I'm going to be here next year. If this product line doesn't sell, my company is going to stand behind it. I'm selling that kind of relationship. So I have 100 customers, and I build that kind of relationship with all of them. So yes, when I ask them for the order, I get the order. He says, sometimes the product's really bad, and my buyers know that the reason I ask them to buy this just a little bit sometimes is because I have to sell it. And we both know it's probably not going to sell, but in order for me to get some stress off of me, they'll buy it for me anyways. That's what a relationship in sales is like. As I was thinking about that relationship, how it's very similar to the relationship with God. We're asking God for an order. We're asking God for an experience. God, help me to experience your presence in my life. But are we doing the hard work of developing the relationship with God so that we're asking for the right thing? Are we asking for the will to be aligned with the will of God? For if we ask God for something that's perfectly aligned with the will of God, God will give us that order every time. The challenge is developing a relationship with God so that we know what the will of God is. And Jesus is our model for that. How do we know what to do? We develop a relationship with Christ. We pour our lives into understanding who Jesus is, how Jesus lived when he was visible to us. And we try to live that life today. And Jesus modeled for us what it's like to pray for God and not get what you ask for. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed over and over and over again until blood came out with his sweat. Father, take this cup from me. Over and over again, he received silence as the reply. Take this cup from me, Lord. I do not want to do this. Abba, Father, take this cup from me. And finally, Jesus stands up and says, okay, you're right. Not my will, but yours. And Jesus goes to the cross, not just for us, but for all of those people who hate Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross for all those people that don't even know him. And as Jesus hangs on the cross, he even forgives the people who murdered him. Not my will, but yours. What Jesus is teaching us is how to pray. When we pray, we develop a relationship with God. And often, prayer is saying things to God. But I think most importantly, prayer should be listening. Listening. Because God already knows what we need. In prayer, God whispers back to us. And I found the most effective way to listen to God is to pray Scripture. Take a section of Scripture and pray it over and over again. Read it meditatively. And ask questions. For when we go to the text, we should always be asking God questions. Asking questions of the text, because these questions are windows, doors into a relationship with God, windows into our soul. What do I need at this moment? But more importantly, God, what do you need? What do you need from me? God, how do you want me to live? The most important question, I think, for myself, the question that I ask almost every time I go to Scripture, God, how do you want me to change? Jesus, how are you asking me to change the way that I am so that I can become more like the way you are? See, I take the Apostle Paul very literally when he says, our goal is that it should become no longer we who live, but Christ who lives within us. For that to happen, Jesus, how do I need to be refined? How do I need to be polished? How do I need to be transformed so that I can become more like you? And as I pray, sometimes there's no answer. Many times there's no answer, but sometimes there is. And it's a fantastic revelation. Now, and it may not be an easy revelation, but it's often very true. Yes, Lord, I do need to do that. Yes, Lord, I do need to work on that. As I was praying through this text, the word righteousness kept coming up. And I was hearing a whisper, perhaps, that Jesus was saying, Eric, explore righteousness. And I did. I went through a library that I have. What does it mean to be righteous from the biblical perspective? And righteousness means to be in right relationship. Righteousness is a relationship term. To be aligned completely and utterly to the will of God. The righteousness that Jesus displayed in the Garden of Gethsemane is the kind of righteousness that God wants us to achieve, to be that aligned with God, that we know God's will and we're willing to put ourselves aside so that we can live for God. And as Jesus is offering this parable, this story to his disciples, there are many ways for us to hear, to listen, to imagine what Jesus might be saying to us. What I'm hearing is Jesus saying this week, and next year, in 3 years, the lectionary cycle will repeat. 3 years, I'll probably hear something very different, and the sermon will be very different. But right now, what I'm hearing Jesus say is, how are we aligning ourselves to the will of God through caring for those in need? How are we ministering? And this is something that I hope someday, my vision for this congregation is someday everybody will be able to answer the question, what is my ministry? For whom am I caring? How am I serving God in ministry? And I ought to be able just to be, I can't snap my fingers, but if you could, if I could, I would snap my fingers and be able to say, these are my ministries. We lost our clicker this week, so I don't have a clicker, so I need to manually ask for the next slide. These are the people that Jesus asks us to care for, the hungry, people who have nothing, not even a morsel to eat, the thirsty. How desperate do you have to be in order to not be able to get to a source of water? Strangers, lost and lonely, desperate for hospitality, outsiders from strange places with strange customs. The naked. Think about that for just a moment. Now, is that the most perfect description of what it means to have nothing? The sick. And we often send our sick away to be left in hospitals and nursing homes. A great ministry would be to visit them. The prisoners, the ones who have broken every rule of society, the ones we lock up and put away out of sight. God says, approach me with boldness by approaching them. Sometimes words just pop out as I read scripture, and maybe you've experienced this. Words that you've read a thousand times. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty? And when was it that you were sick or in prison and we visited you? And the king said, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of those people, these who were members of my family. Members of my family. Wait a minute, the prisoners who have broken all the rules of society are members of Jesus' family. The people that don't even believe in Jesus are members of Jesus' family. The outsiders, the lost, are members of Jesus' family. And just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So when Jesus begins his ministry, he says, good news. I have the greatest news ever to offer to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is present. And if the kingdom of God is here, that means the king is here. And the good news that Jesus offers to us is that every time we approach someone and offer ministry to them, we are approaching the king. And we are called to approach with boldness, expecting an experience. What does that look like? One of the ministries of this congregation started officially in August. There's about now 8 guys that are participating in this ministry called Car Care. And they are taking care of the cars of women at Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter and at Havenwood. Havenwood is a ministry, another one of the ministries this church supports, just north of here, a couple of blocks. They have 15 apartments for mothers with children that have nowhere else to live. And when I say their cars are held together with duct tape and bungee cords, I'm not exaggerating. These cars are literally held together with duct tape. One of the cars we worked on last week had a screwdriver stuck in upside down, handle shoved into the window between the window and the door frame. And Mark Eckert, who's not here, he's normally at this worship service, Mark said, do you need to have that screwdriver in there? And the young lady said, yeah, if I don't take it out, the window falls down when I'm on the highway. These are the kind of cars that we're caring for. And I got a call 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 now, Mary Chambers, who runs the program, called and said, we have a young lady who's got this car with terrible grinding noise coming from the front end. Can you guys take a look at it this weekend? And we said, sure. And then this lady calls me about an hour later, and she said, oh, I just dropped my kids off at preschool. There's nothing I can do. I can't get to you guys. My car died. There's this horrible grinding noise, and it just died. And I called one of the guys, and I know he might potentially be able to help her out that evening. And I said, would you be able to go to this preschool and check her car out? Take a look at it, see if there's anything we can do. The description I received didn't lead me to think we had much chance of being able to help her. That sounded like transmission and broken gears. And he said, yeah, no problem. I can go right now. And he did. And he went over to where she was, took a look at the car. And I didn't hear from him for a day. So I texted him the next day, how'd it go? And he texted me back, hey, Eric, yeah, I got her going again. Front brake pads, rotors, new battery did the trick. She still has a check engine light. I did a code check, and it indicates an oxygen center, but she can drive it. And I texted back, wow, you are awesome, sir. Bring the receipts in, and we'll write a check for you. We have a fund here. If you'd like to donate, that'd be wonderful. Just write down the memo line, Car Care. And he said, no need to reimburse me. What a great opportunity to help someone out. I don't have many skills, but I can turn a wrench. What a great ministry you all have started with a car clinic. Thank you for allowing me to participate. And I said, well, thank you, sir. You are the best. He said, no, I'm not. God is the best. I'm just glad to help people. My friend had an encounter with the risen Christ by caring for a woman who had 2 small children that she had to leave at preschool and then walk to work. I would say that he met Christ in the least. Perhaps one of the lost, because when we spend time with these girls, often we know that we are spending time with girls who have been very, very lost. And in that encounter, he boldly approached Christ, setting aside what he was normally going to do for the day, and out of the goodness of his heart, caring for somebody and walking away saying, oh, thank you for letting me help. That was awesome. What a gift for him from God, because he gave a gift. That's the kind of thing, that's the kind of experience for which we can all be thankful.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.